Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Podcast System with myself, Matthew Gibson, and joining me is Jack Gorn.
Hello! How are we doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Matthew.
That was quite a speedy introduction. I just went flat out into that pretty quickly, to be honest.
Yeah, you just flew, because we know we've got to do a quick episode today, haven't we? And sort of
we don't have
fly through
to.
As much as we can. Well, we don't have to, but it's preferable because it's ridiculously hot in the UK at the moment.
No, okay, no, first of all, you were glorifying the heat yesterday, or some other day, saying, oh, you know, it's hot, but it's a million times better than anything else. It's like,
yeah.
No, it isn't. Like, also,
yeah, I much prefer it.
In the official tier list of seasons, determined by Mother Nature herself. Tier list goes
smash,
autumn, winter,
smash
spring,
ultimate tiers, is it? Yeah.
And then nothing for the other tiers below that, and then at the very bottom is summer. Mainly because of all the bugs and the stickiness.
This is incorrect. Summer is the best month because Jack's birthday is in the summer. So, you know, it's the most important months of the year, obviously.
Month, but not season. It's dragged down by the other 2 months. Well, no, E3 is in June, so...
Yeah, see? Summer. Summer wins because of E3. There we go. Decided.
Okay.
And Hyper Japan.
Hyper Japan? Oh, that's a fair point. I'm going to that soon.
This weekend? Is that true?
This weekend, Friday the 13th, so if you want to meet up, then yeah, I should be loitering around.
Loitering around.
No, that means stealing, isn't it? No.
No, loitering is just like hanging out in weird places, yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably be on the Nintendo area. I guess we could talk about that in our news. So yeah, I think this could end up being a shorter episode. Granted, you've been with us for over 50 episodes, so... You know, don't expect too much. You know, don't get your hopes up like Nintendo's E3.
There's still a fair amount to talk about. There's still a few games we've been playing and stuff like that. A bit in the news, and then we've got some shout-outs near the end, so we should be still a fairly full episode. Despite the fact it's going to be a slightly shorter, just because otherwise we might melt. So
it'll still be good.
We're not really used to it here in the UK, are we, Matt, to be honest? I mean, California's had the hottest point of like temperature-wise this year in the last week. It's been ridiculous over there. So I think we've all had it. We're just not prepared. We don't have like any aircon units or anything like that. So we're all really like struggling. anyway, shall we get into the news or?
Just a second, I'm in the process of choosing music.
Oh yes, what music have you chosen today?
See, that's the thing, I'm still deciding. Okay.
So we don't know, but you know what it was, because you've already listened to it, and then we're going to talk about it afterwards, but you've already heard it, so we always do.
Yeah, okay, but I want to make it official, Jack.
I think you should choose some Kirby music, because that goes perfectly into our first news section.
We're doing that first?
Yeah, why not?
Run that by me. God. let's go with Splatoon 2. I forget what it was.
It was music.
I think it's Seafoam Shanty from Bottom Feeders. Let me just play it a bit now, just to make sure. You'll hear this in the feed. Yeah, it is that one. Yeah, I'm cool. Choosing Seafoam Shanty from Splatoon 2. Why not?
Nice.
So with that, let's head into the first section. So this is the news section of the show right now. You said we were talking about Kirby music to start us off.
Yes, well, let's start with that, shall we? Right. I believe that Kirby's been added to several music platforms.
Yeah, so, in specific... So, it's, three albums of Kirby music. You've got, 25th Memorial album, which is just full of like jazz remixes of Kirby tunes. You've also got the 25th orchestra arrangements, so you've got
Okay.
some medleys of recent games as well as old games, so like a Superstar medley, and then you've got the soundtrack, the whole soundtrack to Planet Robobot. So they're released on pretty much every major music platform, so you can find them on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify. So yeah, you should be able to get your hands on them in some form or another, and this made me incredibly happy, you know.
Is there any other like Nintendo music on
No,
Spotify for that? Is it
see,
just Kirby?
that's the thing. Like, I think so far Kirby's like the only one to actually be on Spotify, like an official Nintendo music.
Interesting.
Because you had some Super Mario Odyssey music on
Yes.
iTunes, and the soundtrack to Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is also up on iTunes, but
Right.
it's well, you can search it here, but it's I think only in Japan you could get it in CD. But yeah, I think this is really good. You know, I'm a fan of video game music. Kirby music is often really good.
It's pretty cool they've done it, and hopefully that means there'll be maybe future music being added to these platforms. So if anyone does have likes of Spotify, you can download and listen to some music on there. That's pretty cool. I like that idea. More please, Nintendo, more.
Yeah, so like what would you want? That's the thing.
Splatoon music straight away. All of it.
Splatoon would
Everything.
be good music. Yeah, Splatoon 1 and 2.
I guess Super Mario Odyssey would be an obvious choice if we could have the extra songs in there, because we've only got like one or two in there, and haven't got any.
We got like a selection. We only got a selection of 10 with
Right, okay.
Odyssey. Which is a bit odd. But the thing is,
Maybe
like,
some,
oh,
sorry, maybe some like back catalog sort of stuff, maybe. I don't know,
maybe.
like old NES
I don't
music and things like that. You know? Tetris, stuff like that, you know?
Maybe. I don't know, because like they've done soundtracks and stuff before. Like, I'm just looking at it now, like for Fire Emblem Warriors, they have pretty much the
Yes.
whole soundtrack, and that came with the special edition. So I guess maybe not those kind of, like, just to make
I
it like more
mean,
special
Twilight
for this.
Princess came with the CD with it, with the
Yeah.
Wii U version. So
Oh, that
maybe
wasn't
that.
the whole soundtrack. That's the thing.
Yeah, just mainly most, well, a few of the songs anyway, so not all of them, but yeah.
It's like, Mario Kart 8. You know, that's a good. I wouldn't mind something like that, or Mario
Yes, that's a good show,
Galaxy,
actually.
or
Yeah,
maybe
definitely. I
Smash
think America
games.
8's a yes, of Smash coming out, that could be a good one to release with.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like as a way to promote the game as well, though, you put it onto these extra platforms. So yeah, it's just an interesting idea. I
I
like it.
think they were asked at a Q&A that is Tatsumi Kimishima and the new president Shuntaro Furukawa, and I think Miyamoto chipped in
Yes.
as well. I think they were asked about the recent this music, and I think they are open to more, because I hope so, because they do have like a wide variety of good video game soundtracks. And if we get something like, say, the Smash soundtrack getting added to Spotify, I think that'd be too big, but I still think that could be cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's its own sort of self-promoting sort of thing, but at the same time, it keeps the other games in mind that might be coming out in the future. You could put like a pre-release of a couple of tracks on and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a nice idea, and hopefully they add a few more coming soon.
All right.
Should we go on to the next thing in the news?
Yeah. It's been reported, I think. I haven't got the exact article right here, but basically, it's been planned. Oh, okay. So, here we are.
I
So,
believe in Nintendo Life.
in Nintendo Life. So I've got it here. Just last month, Nintendo America President Reggie Fils-Aimé revealed that the console library already had a staggering 700 games available within just
Wow.
one and a third years of being on sale, which is pretty nuts. And then from the Q&A, which I believe the same round, their goal is to release around 20 to 30 indie games on Switch per week. going into it a bit more, Kimishima states, offering enjoyable first-party games throughout the world will continue to be one of our strengths, but increasing the number of people who make games to be played on Nintendo platforms is also very important. That is why we are working to create an environment that makes development easier. Yeah, sorry. And simplifying the process of publishing a game on Switch. Tanaka says, some of the indie games already released have gone on to become million sellers worldwide. In the future, we are looking to release around 20 to 30 indie games on Switch per week, and we definitely expect to have... So, admittedly, up until this point, 10th of July, throughout 2018, it's not really been that exciting being a Switch owner. If you haven't owned a Wii U, then yeah, it's been pretty good. But if you only, if you've had owned a Wii U, you got a fair amount of ports. I think you got. If you can't buy now,
Tropical Freeze recently. Yeah.
Tropical Freeze. Toad,
Captain Toad's coming.
Oh, that's another
soon.
Day. Hyrule Warriors and Bayonetta 1 and
Hyrule
2.
Warriors,
so
course.
That's like 5 yep, Wii U yep. ports. And then for the new games, you've got Kirby Star Allies, Mario Tennis Aces, Sushi Striker, and then Octopath Traveler. So if you don't count DLC, then you've actually got more new games. Well, you've got actually more ports of Wii U games than new games, which isn't too bad. I think that was still fair, but I think the main thing is that it's been kept momentum by third-party support.
Yes, definitely.
Especially with indies. So, I'm always looking... Well, I'm not always looking, but there's always something on my eye whenever I go into the eShop. Like, oh, Thumper seems like it might be one of my things. Lumines, Pocket Rumble. You know, there's all these kind of different... titles that I'm always interested in, so that will keep me going if I don't have the money to spare.
Yes.
So,
Pocket Rumble looks good.
Yeah, it does. I've been interested in that since it was first revealed, like a year ago.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, it's good that it's getting a lot of support, but at the same time, yeah. It's the way how the eShop is right now, that's not really the best thing. It's a case of, like,
yeah.
too much.
I think 20 to 30 new indies released is... It's good that there's new games coming. I'm not going to complain about that. But it's the way that the eShop's set up at the moment, if you were just to flood the market with 20 to 30 games straight away, that means all the other new games that were just released the week before that will just literally get bummed off straight away, and you won't see them. So basically, all these indies have only got a week, in theory... to be on the main page of Nintendo.
Unless
and
they hit the
just
best
isn't
sellers
really...
or something like that.
Of course, yes. So like the likes of Stardew Valley, for instance, has been one of the top sellers ever since it's been released. And it is like that. You only see that because it's the top of the charts. If you do a manual search for it you can find it. But you won't find any other games because if they're not in the top charts. So this is the problem with the whole eShop itself. You've really got to search quite deep to find these games. It does need a sort of a bit of a refresh so that if they are going to put 20 to 30 indie games a week, they need to keep promoting them continually. So like this come out last week, this come out a couple of weeks ago. Why don't you give it a go? Maybe you missed it. Things like that. Is it too many, Matt? That's the problem. Is that if you had 30 games in a week, to choose from, and this isn't even including the main releases like from Nintendo and other third parties, this is just the indies. Do you think they'll just get completely wiped out and wait and see it in some
I
cases?
I think the other thing, touching upon that, it's like not all of them are going to be good games. Like, if we are going, like, I could see maybe 5 at max being actually quality titles, whereas the rest may be considered shovelware. I'm not sure.
There might be a few like that.
Yeah. I think that will be the case for most of the weeks, whereas, like, a lot will get mainstream attention because they are quite popular and maybe quite good. But they'll always be flooded by the ton of other potentially weaker titles that may not actually deserve the spotlight as much
Let's put this scenario to you then. Right. So Fortnite's on the store now, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's had over 2 million downloads in the first week.
I think the first day, actually.
So within the first couple of days, wherever it is, yeah. So that's a free game.
Yeah.
So will that, because that's a free game, do you reckon that will only be on the store for a week and then it'll go onto the top sales page?
Let's check.
Do you think that would harm? Do you think that would harm Fortnite and things like that? In terms, I know it's not going to harm Fortnite because Fortnite's a huge game, but in terms of like the recognition that it's on the eShop itself, will like other games be knocked out of the way and not going to be completely ignored, even if they are released this week? Is my problem with it? I just don't think. I don't go on the eShop every week. I might have a look every once a month, maybe, and have a browse through and see if there's anything I'm interested in, if I've got some free time and some free money to spend. But I'm not going to go on every day to see if there's something new every day, unless it's something I'm really interested in and something I know that's coming out, for example.
Yeah, so I'm but like... Oh, go on.
It's just kind of frustrating, I think, the way they're sort of promoting new games. You might sort of get a glance of it on social media. The actual companies themselves are promoting these games. And, like, Nintendo themselves might put up a post every now and then. But then the ones that don't get posted and don't get talked about or haven't got quite the following are going to struggle. The ones that may be a really good game but might not just get that push to be in that list might struggle to get there, kind of thing.
So unless it's, like, you don't have... like your own list, you know, or whatever. I think there is a watch list, I think.
And I know Nintendo like, normally do like highlights, don't they? What's been on the eShop? They do like a video like, for
Discover. What... Yeah.
So something that, like... video is now going to be like a few hours long, surely.
Yeah, so it's like I'm looking at, say, the charts. And frankly, they're like, you could switch them between download exclusives and
that's good. They did update that, didn't they?
You know, you got the coming soon sorted in the actual, but like looking at recent releases, it's not really like highlighted recent releases.
No, it's just literally what was released in within that time. I mean, it does go down quite a far way now, but let's see. Is there's one, two. We're talking about 30 to 40, maybe on this list. Maybe a few more than that, maybe 50.
So, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So, 27 titles were released on the eShop in the last week.
Okay, yeah.
27. So, it's like, you got a lot of variety. That's definitely true. But it's like, Rumbo, I had to go all the way back down to that 27th entry, whereas, to be fair, that should be pretty high up, you know, because Rumbo's, like, pretty well acclaimed.
Yeah.
Well, from what I've seen, at least. So, yeah, I think the problem more in lies with, like, the structure of the eShop.
Yeah. They are changing a few things on here, because I know they've got the Discover page that gives you a list of what's the game of the day, game of the week, online game of the week, certain picks from Nintendo themselves, which ones are expansion content, try for free. So there is some different parts coming to it, and it's even got featured stuff for instance, Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate is on its way, and it's now available for pre-order and things like that. But if you're not a big game, you're not going to be in that Discover list. That's the problem. Yeah. It's like, there's only certain people are going to be in that list. And then recent releases, as soon as you're gone off that page, you have to go quite deep to go and search for it, is what I'm trying to say. And even with like current offers and sales, it's still quite difficult to try and find the games you want to play in this list. It's kind of frustrating to me. But I just don't know the answer, because if you want to try and display, how many games do we say have been released altogether now? Over 1,000, do you say?
I think Reggie said 700, and that was of last month, so it may even be of like 750, maybe.
Something around there. So it's like, how do you display all those games on your one little platform? It's quite
exactly
difficult. But I suppose at least they are trying something different with it, and maybe they can improve the search to have like certain gimmicks to it. So like if you were searching for a game for less than £10, something like that, you know, if you're searching for a game, an RPG, maybe something like that, it will maybe it's a little bit easier to use. I don't know, but the filtered search to me doesn't seem to work very well from when I've been trying it. So maybe that needs to be a bit worked on for so if you search for certain games and stuff. But yeah, at least they are trying something. I mean, it's very strange to me, but we'll see how it goes. Download exclusives though. You've really got to hunt down for this itself. Though. You've got to let you flick over a few buttons to get there, and that could be easily missed. You know, things like that. So
right, yeah.
But overall, I think it's looked a lot better than it was when I first looked at it, but like when they first released it, kind of thing. You know, it is improving slowly.
Yeah. So
there's nothing I'd really like fancy at the moment either. Looking through the list,
it's like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's a lot that do catch my eye and that I do want to try out, but I may end up actually forgetting about that. You know, that's the annoying thing. But yeah, like, I think the other thing as well is, like, it is up to you to, like, look over, like, highlight videos, as you said. I think Nintendo put out them. Just look online.
I think it's just the way it's displayed needs a little bit of a change. So maybe they can put up a featured video for the day is one of the games which just got released today. Maybe they should do something like that, you know, on the actual front page itself, rather than having to dig through each game to hunt for this video, to hunt for pictures, you know. Maybe that's something that could just be displayed on the eShop itself, just to improve it a little bit. Maybe sort of, and so, but rather than just show you the title screen picture, and that's it, basically. Yeah. maybe the price. It's, I mean, some games you know what you're buying, but some of the indies, for instance, you might not necessarily know what it is without having to dig in and have a deep thought before you even consider purchasing it. So it just needs to be a bit more displayed a little bit easier for people, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Moving on, we have now entered a new era, per se, of Nintendo in terms of president. Shitaro Furukawa, who was previously working at the Pokemon Company, is now the new president of Nintendo, succeeding Tatsumi Kimishima.
Yeah.
There's not really much to say about him, but he seems a nice dude. He is fluent in English.
That's good.
So I am hoping he will make some...
It saves poor points. Bill Trinan from, like, literally telling... trying to translate the whole time.
Mm.
Poor Bill. He does it all, doesn't he? He does it all. He looks after all the businesses. He knows Japanese. He knows English. You know, well... Americanish.
Yeah. It's like, well, the thing is like, I think with Tatsumi, I think he was quite reserved. He was more of a businessman than a more out there personality. But hopefully Shuntori is like, he's younger, that's the thing.
Right,
like,
okay.
He's 46 compared to Tatsumi Kimishima, who I believe is in his 60s? Yeah, so
right,
Tatsumi
okay.
Kimishima is 68. So that's a whole 22 years apart. So, I think he could bring, like, in some more younger expertise, and I think he is more experienced within, like, game design as well.
So, right, yeah,
I am... The thing is, I just want to see Shintaro Furukawa in a Nintendo Direct. That would be cool to see again.
There's been lots of floating rumours of a Nintendo Direct being this month, but I've not seen any
really?
Actual concrete evidence yet. Yeah, yeah. There's lots of rumours floating out. But
I haven't seen rumours. Rumours fly around all the time, really.
There's one saying, especially this Thursday coming, but that got debuffed pretty quickly. There's also next week as well. There's a lot of games that be released in the next couple of weeks for the store. So I don't know if people are just putting 1 and 12 together and getting 2. I don't know. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see what they do with the future directs and having the new president in place, whether he will take the full running for the directs or whether they'll leave it to underlings or understaff. It's interesting to see.
Or just do a tag team of Furukawa and Koizumi to be unstoppable.
Yes, there is no, nothing can stop that now. That's
An unstoppable duo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All gone.
Right. Moving on. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, if you don't know, it has been getting frequent updates, almost daily, sometimes even two. Basically, they're similar to the Miiverse Picture of the Days that we had leading up to Smash Wii U and 3DS. But for the most part, they've been pretty much what we've known already. Like fighters, assist trophies, and whatnot. Although, I think there have been some new details regarding them. Like, I think the crystal one, I don't think that was formally shown off outside of just gameplay from the E3 build.
Right.
But the exciting thing, for us in the UK, it's every early Wednesday morning, we get a new music track, and they are always glorious.
Okay.
So have you been listening to them?
I've sort of only I've seen glances of the updates on Twitter, but I think there's only when other people retweeted it. I can't find what's the actual page for the
The
Smash Ultimate? That's
actual page on the in terms of website,
I've seen it on like Nintendo Versus every now and then, because that's one of their new Twitter pages.
yeah,
But
Nintendo
other than that, I've
Versus.
not really seen it.
Yeah, you could just go on to Smash Bros. Ultimate website.
SmashBros.com.
Yeah, smashbros.com/en_gb/. And then it's pretty much right there in the blog. Like, just
Yes, I
scroll down a
see it.
bit.
I
Yeah,
see it now.
yeah,
I see it now. Yeah.
yeah. So it's mainly just like fighters.
Today's talking about Kirby. We had Mark yesterday. So it's just talking about what we've already seen from the direct as well, though, isn't it? In places. But I did see something interesting actually this week was or I don't know if it was last week actually saying that Crystal was an assist trophy.
Yeah, that's what I said,
And
didn't
yeah,
I?
it's
Or,
Crystal from Star Fox.
yeah.
Which is nice to see. Yay. More Star Fox stuff. Yes.
Sounded like a bit salty that you didn't get another Star Fox rep as a fighter.
She would have fit all right, but I don't think I don't know because she's got that. She was the only one from like the GameCube one, wasn't she originally? And it's just like
Yeah.
Star Fox Adventures, which wasn't amazing, let's be honest. And
Nah.
it was a okay game, but she's like the only thing that sort of survived from it afterwards. You know, it just sort of everything after it, they seem to have just forgotten about it. And she sort of turns up in Star Fox Assault as well
Yeah,
as a
so she turns
character.
up.
But yeah, there's been little updates here and there the last couple of days. And so what was the music that's been announced so far
So
within the blogs?
for the music we've started, so the first when this up when this website first came on, we got the main theme from Breath of the Wild, Vega stage from Street Fighter 2, which is actually arranged by the original composer, which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Brinstar Depths from Metroid, Bomb Rush
Oh,
Blush from
Bomb Rush
Splatoon.
Blush. Yes, I
Yeah.
heard that one because that is a really good remix of it. It sounds really good.
Noisy Notebook from Snipperclips, and then
It
the re
was
most recent
nice. It
one.
was nice for Snipperclips to get a mention. Whether that would mean a stage for Snipperclips, that would be pretty cool. I'd like to see something like that.
I think the thing is, there may have been just masking the emblem for now,
Yeah.
but because all the others have emblems like the Triforce, the Squid, the Warp Star for Kirby. Speaking of which, the Seal Trial track from Kirby Air Ride, which is pretty neat.
The Noisy Notebook's the only one that doesn't have a actual symbol as such. It just has a
Nah.
musical note next to it, which yeah, it might just be a symbol to say extra music, but yeah, it's
Could
interesting
be a
they've not
placeholder.
put something else
But
with
it'll be
it.
interesting to see
Yeah.
what stage it actually fits into. That's the thing.
If you think about it though, that game is still that's not a Nintendo game, is it? That is a third
No,
party game.
I think it was Wasn't Nintendo published? I know it was in development.
Maybe
I think it was
Nintendo
just.
published.
I think it was Nintendo published, but I'm.
If you're one of the team that made that game and you've got your music in Smash Bros. Ultimate, I think you'd be pretty happy with
Oh
that,
yeah.
wouldn't you? That's pretty cool for them.
Yeah,
I'm
let's
quite happy
see.
with that.
So, yeah, so Nintendo did publish, but they didn't actually develop it. It was by
That's it.
SFE Games,
Yeah.
yeah. So, I guess it is technically an indie, which is pretty wild, actually.
It's sort of second party in a way.
Yeah, second
I don't
party.
know.
That that's a good way to describe it.
But cool. That's quite a good selection of music straight away.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing what tomorrow's
Yeah.
is as well. So.
I'm hoping it's a good one. What I'm hoping for, well, so far the music has in general has been so good. Like the Bum Rush Blush, that was actually the arrangement supervisor was Tomoya Otani, who I believe worked on some Sonic games like Sonic Unleashed.
Yes.
So I think that's just really cool, the fact that like we're getting composers and music people from outside of Nintendo actually arranging Nintendo music.
Yeah.
I just think it's cool because the music in Smash is, such a big part, I think. Everyone's going on about the fires and the stages, but the music is actually probably equally as important as stages. So they're always exciting to listen to.
I'm liking the new assist trophies that have been added as well. Like we've got Squid Sisters, Bomberman, for instance. Who is Sucker Pond? Do you know who this
Sucker
is? I've...
I forget what he was, but it's like don't think I think it was a fighting game.
Right.
Let me see here. So Superpon, also known as Scapon, is the main robot from the fighting game Joy Mecha Fight. Originally designed for comedy, he
Okay.
was reprogrammed for combat when the need struck. Like all robots in the game, his limbs are seemingly separate from his torso, allowing extra flexibility in battle and on stage.
He's very Rayman-like
Yeah.
in his design, in a way. The best way I could describe him. And he's just a big pink blob. And
Yeah, it's a Japanese only game, but like on that, that's what I love about Smash. Like you're getting Nintendo characters from all corners
yeah,
of
definitely.
Nintendo history. Like I didn't even know about this character when I first saw him
The
in the
Sims City
trailer.
guy and things like that from previous like
Yeah.
games was always quite a funny one to me. It was like of all the most random characters you put in, and things like Pong as well was like that's a great
Yeah,
little
that was
flashback.
yeah, like Color TV 15.
Yeah,
I think that's his precise name, which is Pong clone.
Pong clone, but he's
Yeah.
Pong. So I mean,
Yeah, or like the sheriff as well, I think.
The speculation is rife with Knuckles being added to the assist trophy, with maybe Shadow being a separate character to Sonic, which what are they calling the separate characters? I can't remember what they
Echo
call them now.
Fighters.
Echo Fighters, of course it is. So he's maybe a rumored Echo Fighter for Sonic, but it's
I think
meh.
Shadow definitely has a chance, because I think people do want him in, and I think the fact that like Daisy got in now, I think the there's definitely the opportunity for Shadow to get in
Yes.
as an Echo Fighter. I can see that happening, to be honest.
It seems likely, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Of all the things on there, I mean, that's probably the most likeliest thing to happen, but who
Granted, we may
knows?
have
We'll
just
have to wait
not
and see.
seen Shadow as an assist trophy yet, but the fact that they've already shown Knuckles, I think it would be a bit weird to have two assist trophies from the same franchise, third party
Yeah, not,
franchise.
and like not to have tails as well just makes it even
Yeah,
stranger.
that's
So
weird.
it's yeah, it's, but
I think
who
tails would have been
knows?
better. Oh well. But yeah. But going back onto music, I'm just looking forward to what I'm hoping for. Ollie Jameson, a good friend of the show, tweeted I think yesterday, just asking about the what arrangements we would actually want to see added in Smash. And to be honest, I'm really hoping for well, first of all, I'm really hoping for some Final Fantasy remixes.
Yes.
Because we only got the two songs when Cloud was added in, which is pretty
That's
stupid,
true. I'd like to see
like
a few more.
Ryu
It doesn't
didn't
necessarily. Sorry, man.
Ryu didn't get that many, Like you only got the Ryu stage and the Ken stage.
Hmm.
But now with the Vega stage being added, and I'm hopeful for some more Street Fighter tracks. Hopefully, is it Guile? Is that how you pronounce it?
Guile. Oh, yeah, it goes with everything.
Yeah. So I'm hoping like they add that theme in because that's such an iconic theme. I didn't understand how they didn't have that originally.
Yeah.
Bayonetta actually got a fair amount of music, but Cloud only got two tracks. So I'm hoping we can at
It
least see some remixes.
doesn't necessarily have to be Final Fantasy VII either. You could quite easily add other Final Fantasy music to that
That's
stage
true.
if needs be.
In the same way, I'm hoping for some extra Sonic arrangements.
There was quite a few Sonic songs in there, though, to be
There were
fair, weren't there?
songs, but there weren't arrangements. That's the thing.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Like there was only like you know, Green Hill Zone is good, but well, I don't think there were any arrangements. None that come to mind. That's what I'm hoping for,
Well,
at
you had
least.
Sonic Adventure 2's battle music, didn't you? And you had, oh, what else we have?
We had a
Green Hill
lot.
Zone is in there.
Oh yeah, well, Green Hill Zone is in everything.
I always had Sonic Adventure 2 battles music on like constantly every time I was on a
Yeah.
Sonic stage. So I don't know. I can't remember what else was on it. I believe there was some from Windy Hill
Yeah,
as
I mean,
well.
Windy Hill Zone was the stage, so yeah.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, that's it. I'm sure there was one more, but I can't think what it is at the moment. So. They could easily add like Sonic Forces or Sonic Generations music
Oh
to that.
no. Not Sonic Forces, fucking fist pump. No.
No? Okay.
It's pretty catchy though once you get into it, to be
Yeah.
fair.
Does Daisy have any themes that she could have added? I don't know if they could have the original Game Boy stuff.
Really? It's just I
Super Mario
feel that they
Land.
should get Super Mario Land in.
Remixes of that'd be pretty cool.
I'm not sure because I don't think we've actually had Super Mario. No, I think we have had Mario Land music before.
I'm not sure. Maybe we
No,
have.
I think it was originally in Brawl.
Oh,
I
maybe.
can't remember which track though. I swear there was definitely Super Mario Land remixes in Brawl. I think it
Yeah.
was only just the one though.
There was a handful of like music tracks on that which were quite rememberable kind of thing, I suppose. So if you played those games, or from Super Mario Land 2, maybe from the sequel, because there's lots of
Possibly.
Wario involvement in that, so maybe that's something they could add to a Wario stage. But yeah, I know there's plenty of options, and I'm sure we'll see lots more in the coming weeks. We've got loads of time up to December, haven't we, to see more tracks. So this is.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Right. Moving on, finally. Nintendo still has games to announce for 2018. So, unfortunately, I couldn't find the exact article because I remember this coming being longer than just yesterday. But as a Q&A, yeah, again, it's asked about the fact that E3, after E3, Nintendo's stock price kind of dropped.
Yes.
Mainly because they didn't really show all that much. So basically, the guy says all of the key titles for this fiscal year are going to be released from the fall for the holiday season. So I am wondering if it is not possible to release attractive software continuously. Kimishima stated, "We are not yet at the point where we can announce our entire product lineup, including the products that will be released during the holiday season. We are aiming to sell 20 million units during this fiscal year, which I've pretty much always said, and release first-party titles like Then for the holiday season, we'll release Mario Party, Pokemon, and Smash. We plan to use this robust lineup, including popular titles that were already released prior to the last fiscal year, to maintain and increase the momentum we have with Nintendo Switch for the holiday season." So, the f and I think that's mainly the gist of it. The thing is,
Yeah.
why not mention this at E3? That's what I'm wondering. It's like, sure, you can release it at any time, but like, why not bump up your E3 a bit? I guess they did want to focus a lot on Smash, but you
There are
know.
other games leading up to before that. I mean, that's December.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big. There's a few months before December.
Yeah,
So.
but like, think about it. From there, I think, hold on, let me see. It's Octopath Traveler. I'm not sure if that is first party or not. I think it is
Square
third.
Enix, isn't
Yeah, but
it?
I'm not sure
So.
if it's Square Enix developed or is Square Enix publishing it as well. Oh no, not
Maybe,
back.
maybe.
Let me see.
I think it is Square doing everything with that.
Nintendo publishing it outside of Japan, but in Japan, Square Enix are publishing it themselves. So yeah, I guess it is technically a second slash first party game. So you have that for July. August we have nothing, but we do have the Monster Hunter game. September we don't have anything right now, but we do have the Torna expansion for Xenoblade Chronicles 2,
Yeah.
which I think will be enough because apparently that's quite meaty. October you have Super Mario Party, November you have Pokemon, and December you have Smash. So already I think that's actually a solid second half for 2018.
Yeah. I think so.
And if you're worried about sales, Pokemon and Smash will be enough to carry system sales anyway. So I don't see
Yeah, I
why
believe so.
people would be worried about the Switch sales.
We've also got all these lots of indies to come, and I'm sure
Yeah.
there's a few more third parties to and stuff for. And I think the big indies game to watch out for is Undertale, because that will sell consoles as well, because it's ridiculous how
Would it
popular
really
that game
sell
is.
consoles though? It would sell well, but I'm not sure
Yes.
if it's a system
Yeah.
seller.
I think it will be.
Really?
It's such a popular game.
It's such a
And I
popular
mean, it,
game, but
I
like,
think
I feel there's already a lapse, you
for a
know.
Nintendo audience like that, as a RPG like game, I
Yeah,
think it's a perfect
so
console
it
for
will
it.
sell well, but I won't be a system seller.
No,
Nah. I don't think so
but
anyway.
it's still a big enough indie
Yeah.
to generate sales itself,
That's
though, I
true.
believe. Not maybe you're right, not saying it's not going to sell the console itself, but it's still going to,
Yeah.
I think it's still enough there that it will generate sales
Yeah.
itself.
I think the system sellers will be Smash and Pokemon.
Big
You know,
time, yeah, absolutely.
you could look at one and say, "Oh, I'm getting the Switch for this game." Oh, but there's also this other big title, you know.
I think Mario Party definitely deserves to be in that list as well, because I know a lot
I
of people
guess.
that just stick around just for those games and things as well. Lots of the four-player multiplayer games is what drives like families to buy these sort of games, because they can
That's
play
true.
together and things like that. So, yeah.
But the thing is, like, I wonder what else then. You know, because you got like a lot of other indie third-party titles, you know, like Monster Hunter and The World Ends With You.
Yeah.
But what was stopping them from putting it in the E3? You know, it's a case of, oh, we don't want to wait too long. You know, we don't want to like tease them for too long. But it's like you announced Smash 3 months before we actually got any gameplay footage. You
Yeah.
showcased the logo for Metroid Prime 4 last E3 and didn't talk about it this year either. Yeah.
Still not seen anything about that
Admittedly, with Metroid Prime 4, I think that was good to show, just to say, oh, this is coming, you know, when we aren't
Stop.
ignoring Metroid, you know.
Yeah.
So I
I
think
think because they had
that.
that 3DS game, they had
Yeah.
to do that and say, look, we're not gonna,
Yeah.
it's not dead yet. So.
Yeah, I don't think they wanted another Federation Force on their hands.
No, of course not.
So yeah, that's fine, but it's like, you know, I just don't agree with that mindset. Yeah, there are definitely other times to announce brand new games, or at least talk about new games. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like E3 is like the big time to announce it. You know, all eyes are on them.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm still talking about E3 a month afterwards, but you know. Yeah, so I am wondering, because not
It is
even
the biggest conference, definitely.
exactly, but the thing is like
But
we don't.
what? Sorry, Matt, go on.
We still don't know anything about the Yoshi game really. Like that was shown off last year, and we haven't seen anything on that for a year. You know.
I think that'll be pushed back to January, just because the way that the games have fallen in place now,
Yeah.
it seems likely they're going to leave that till that next year slot, maybe February.
I can
Kind of
see it
thing.
because like nothing really gets released in January.
Captain Toad did a couple of years back, which was the last big
Oh
title, I
yeah.
guess, if you can call it big. But In terms of other games released in January, I probably couldn't tell you. I think you're probably right, mate. I mean, most of them do come out in sort of October to December time. I try and
That
get
being
details as
said, though.
possible. But the problem they've got at the moment is like Nintendo have tried to keep it to one game a month so that it's got a wide chance of that game being bought. And like, if you can afford one game every month, and then it's decent enough, you're going to buy that Nintendo game. And this is the other problem of having these 20 to 30 indies and other
That's a
third
fair
parties
point.
having
Because they're
releasing
already
so
games knocked over
many.
anyway, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, if I've got only enough money for one game, I'm going to buy the Nintendo game, aren't I? So it's the problem.
I think the other thing with that is, like, you're only getting 32 gigabytes when you buy the Switch.
Yes, of
That's
course, yeah.
not a lot.
No,
It
I've
really
already
isn't.
upgraded myself.
I need to upgrade.
I've got a memory card in mind.
The. Yeah, so what do you think they could announce? Because, like, I think the only thing I could see them realistically doing is a Wii U port.
Mario Maker's the one, isn't it? That's the one we all really want on the Switch, but I just don't know how it will work without the pen.
I mean, like, maybe it's handheld only? I don't know. I mean, like, if they were ballsy enough to put Mario Maker on 3DS without online functionality, then I think they're
Yeah.
fine.
I mean, we've yet to find out more information about the whole online service as well, and they keep saying to hold this back further, and
See,
it's kind of getting like, well,
they said they were saving more information until close to launch, but it's like, you know.
you're getting closer.
Exactly.
And we still have nothing of any information other than you'll be getting a game from the NES era, which will have online capabilities, but doesn't really mean that doesn't say it's online multiplayer. That says it's got like capabilities. It could be like leaderboards
Online,
and things like that. So, it's
It's a weird
yeah.
time. You know,
It's
you
a
got a
weird
good
time.
game to look forward to, but at the same time, it's like everything else is just so fucking weird.
I think there's enough Nintendo stuff there already. I'd like, maybe they need to sort of enhance a few of the third parties to be added into the console. But
Maybe.
other than that, I think they're okay with they're gonna do this 20 to 30 indies a week. I don't think they really need to announce too much at the moment.
No.
But there's likely to be at least one more Nintendo Direct in theory before we get to that October sort of time.
Oh,
So
yeah.
it'd be interesting to see does get announced, if a Direct does get announced next few months.
I
So
think I think Captain Toad will probably be almost the last of Wii U ports. Oh, so I'm thinking, or at least I'm
well,
hoping personally.
Wind Waker and Twilight Princess would be I wouldn't say no to, but it's like they're not really that needed now, are they? The fact
Yeah,
they had them on the
personally, what I'm
Wii U.
hoping for, what I'm actually expecting, well, the two most likely for me are Super Mario Maker and Xenoblade Chronicles X.
That would make sense,
Those are the
yes,
two most
absolutely.
likely, but the two I most want are the Wonderful 101, which I
Yeah.
think hasn't even been greenlit yet. I think Mr. Kamiya wanted it, but hasn't
That
been
game
greenlit.
definitely deserves a second chance.
And then the other one is Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE. A beautiful game that didn't
Yeah.
get the love it deserved.
Yeah,
You know.
the most committed like Fire Emblem players and to that game, they really enjoyed it. But yeah, you are right, it didn't really get
But the
the
thing is,
sales
just
it
like,
wanted, and maybe that fell off, but
if it's sounding like a little bit of Fire Emblem, that's the thing. Like, it's just a good JRPG on its own. You know, and I think, especially now that it's like portable, I think that game, as well as like Xenoblade X, would benefit greatly from the Switch. Whereas, to be honest, Mario Maker, I'm not too bothered in a way. I just kind of wanted to stay on the Wii U just so Wii U can have that legacy, in a
And we've
way.
got like games like Chicken Little coming out soon, which is the
Chicken
same
Little.
sort of thing in a way.
Don't you mean
Yeah,
Chicken
which
Wiggle?
yeah, which is like a. That's what I said.
No, you said Chicken Little.
I said Chicken Wiggle.
No, you didn't. I
I
swear to
did.
God. Okay, I'm putting this in.
Yeah,
I swear to God, you did not. say
I did.
chicken?
I
You
said
didn't.
wiggle. Yeah, I did.
Do you want to bet money?
No.
Okay, I'm so look who's not. Right, I'm recording this. I don't know why.
It's
This
fine.
is very
It doesn't
petty,
matter.
but
It doesn't matter. It
one
doesn't
hour,
matter.
6 minutes into recording, you said Chicken Little. Anyway, that's enough of me being a dickhead. Go on.
But yeah, they've got games similar that do the same thing, which come into the console soon anyway. And I think that creativity sort of mindset, you've got games like Minecraft and similar games like that come into the Switch anyway. So it's not like it's not massively needed as such, but it's just that how would it work on that console? Is what sort of puts people off of it. But
Yeah.
you know, it's a great game and definitely deserves to see more coming to it in the future if possible.
I saw one idea flying around on Twitter. By flying around, I
Okay,
mean
yeah.
just by one person. It's a collection of new Super Mario Brothers games, and I really don't want that. If that's going to be the last
Yeah.
Wii U port, ugh. Just end me right there and then.
But if you think about new Super Mario Bros. U, and the fact that you got the whole platform thing you could do on the pad and still have four other players, you could do that in tabletop mode if you had the screen on a table and you could just add random platforms just by touching the screen.
But then
But it,
everybody, then your hands will be in the way and stuff.
And then you've got four players trying to basically try and fit onto the smallest screen
Exactly.
possible is the problem. But yeah, it's got some problems like technically wise with that. But you know, you could probably do, if you have Mario Maker anyway, you pretty much make those game those
Exactly.
levels once. So I don't think it's really needed anymore. I mean, it was
Yeah.
good for when it was first got released, but it's just no. But yeah, other than that, there's nothing that really jumps out to me from the Wii U which needs ported now, other than those like
Yeah.
four or five mentioned there. But I don't think it,
I think
even
those are
then,
the
I
only
don't
four
think
or
they'd
five
be.
left, Jack.
Yeah,
Pretty
that's
much everything
probably
else is
why.
just.
Yeah. So,
Looking at this,
yeah.
right? So, I'm looking at my Wii U collection.
Yeah.
So, you've got Nintendo
Star
Land.
Fox.
Star Fox. Oh. That could burn in the fire. That, you heard me. If
I was talking about
anything.
the toads, like.
If anything, bring
You know.
that Slippy game, Star Fox
Yeah, that's
Guard.
what I was going to say. Bring the Slippy game, yeah.
That
That'd be great.
that may work well. No, doesn't it depend
Free to
heavily on the
play.
gamepad, though?
Bring it on free to play on the gamepad. It'd be fine. It'd work.
Oh,
It would work.
right. That ends it for this section, so let's move on to the next section. So this is the What Have We Been Playing section of the podcast now. Jack, you said that you want to go first.
Yep, I've not really been playing very much because, you know, it's the summer and I've got, like, England World Cup tournament's been on. So, you know, I've been watching a lot of that and it's been my birthday as well. So I've been out doing things and stuff. But I've been playing quite a bit of two games, really. Fortnite, which has recently been added since E3. I bought the Battle Pass for the first time, which is basically a selection of challenges you get within the game. And you can unlock different emotes and costumes and things by completing certain tasks. It's quite fun. It's quite good laugh. Like, you can go through and do this both single player in solo mode, or you can play it in squads. So if you've got certain challenges to beat and you've got a few friends that have already beaten them, they can help you out. So it's pretty cool. They added an extra week's worth of challenges the last week. And yeah, it's been quite tough to get through them all, but I think there's 7 weeks worth of challenges, and I think I've completed 2 weeks completely, but I've still got a few, like one or two odd ones here and there to find. One of the most toughest challenges on there I found is the way, I don't know if I'm trying to explain this. Everyone's probably played Fortnite, but you all heard of Fortnite, and basically you do a parachute jump onto this random world thing, and the world basically gradually goes down into a giant circle, and every say 2 to 5 minutes, depending what mode you're playing, the circle decreases into a smaller section. If you're outside the circle, you'll lose health and eventually die. But one of the challenges is to basically get them in the middle of the circle and get this token, which is in the middle of the circle. And you've got to do that 3 times within 3 different circles. And so basically, what you think about is you're in right in the middle of the circle, which means everyone else is going to try and get there as well, try and target you because you're sat right in the middle of the circle. You've got to try and get to do this 3 times, and guarantee you'll get to the third one, and someone will either rocket launch you or snipe you from a miles away, and you're just dead. And you're like, the amount of times I've raged at trying to complete this challenge, it's unbelievable, you know. But yeah, it's really fun. I've liked the amount of times I've joined random squads, and we've just gone out and seen whether we can survive as long as possible. Like, different people do play the game in different ways. Like, there's a few people I've played with who like to do stealth sort of hiding and things, and pretend they're bushes and like just snipe away from miles away. But then there's other groups who'd want to go all guns in blazing. Let's just take everyone out and just go for it, kind of thing. So it's been quite interesting to play in different styles and different tactical abilities and different skill abilities and things like that. So it's quite a variant sort of game. And because I'm quite lucky to have quite a lot of friends on my Switch list, like, I can always see there's someone playing. I can always join in and play them with them any time, which is pretty cool. The same with the games like Splatoon and Mario Kart as well. So it's just quite nice on there. There was another weird thing this week with Fortnite. They had a special event that happened, which was a rocket launch that happened at a certain time. I think it was last Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading about this.
Everyone went crazy for it because it was only on this certain time, this certain place, and it launched up and basically exploded. Part of it exploded off and then landed on the world, and there was some sort of special weapon you could pick up. There was only one special weapon per server that was watching this display.
Right.
So the funny thing with this, though, there was like loads of players decided to just build forts, even though you were supposed to be shooting each other. Build forts and just watch this happen. So there's one player in particular who got the highest score for the most players killed, because there was a load of players just sat in this one big humble area. There was, but I think he got 80 kills in one rocket launch or something
I think it
ridiculous
was
like that.
48.
48. It's like,
Yeah.
what? Because a load of people were just standing there watching this rocket, and he just thought, "Nah, let's kill them all." So fair play to him. I like him. He's done really well there. I was very impressed. Or she. I don't know if it was he or she. But yeah, this rocket basically come down, and then all of a sudden, there's like loads of splits that have happened in the whole world. There's like these real electronic holes and things that are appearing. It's very strange. Every week in Fortnite, they'll do something really strange. Like, they had like asteroids launching down and things like that, and different parts of the world exploding, and it just changes the map completely. And I like the way they're doing it. It's like it just keeps it varying every week, and it's something different every week, and it changes the tactics of how you should play and things like that. And it makes you think about what you've got to do and where you've got to pick up items from and stuff like that. Then they add the extra challenges for these areas which have been changed, and it makes it even harder. And it just keeps getting better and better, in my opinion. I think it's a really good, intense game, but it's not really that intense. It's just so weird that anyone can sort of join this and play however they want to play. And I think that's why Fortnite's done so well, especially on the Switch. But yeah, it's really great, and I've really had some great fun playing with lots of different people with it. So that's pretty much the best I can say and sum up with Fortnite. So I'm probably going to continue playing with it the next couple of weeks, and maybe I'll put it down after that if I don't get so addicted to it. So technically, my next game is actually 3 games. I was lucky enough to pick up Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy for the Switch.
Yeah.
I previously owned all 3 of the games on PS1. Matthew, did you have a PS1? I don't know.
I wasn't born,
He wasn't even born.
no.
So,
No,
I forget how young you are,
I
man.
grew up
So,
with the original Xbox.
right, okay. So I think these games originally come out in 97, 96, one of
97?
that. Maybe 97. I think the first one came out.
Let me see.
So have a look. So I'm pretty, because I know the PS1 came out in 96, and I think
96,
it.
yeah.
Yeah, I think the first game came out the year after.
I think so.
Anyway,
that rings a
but
bell.
anyway, it's something round there. So these games are in general fairly old, but they've re-enhanced them into a HD and they've readjusted some gimmicks of it. And it honestly, it's a beautiful looking game. They've done that. They've really done themselves a great job in porting this the way they've done it. Originally, it was released on PS4, and I was actually considering buying a PS4 just to play Crash Bandicoot, which was pretty bad, really, wouldn't it?
That would have been a bad decision, to be fair. That's coming from someone with a PS4. There are better titles.
Now they ported it over, yeah. And the only other game I was sort of considering for PS4 now is the Kingdom Hearts Collection, because I love the Kingdom Hearts games. They're really good. But Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy basically is like literally number one, number two, and number three, which is Warped. And it's just like playing the original games again. But then you remember how difficult these games were for a kid's game. It was unbelievably hard. And there's so much of this, like, you got to take it slowly and think about what you're doing in certain parts of the levels. And I really do struggle with that in any game. So patience is not my favourite thing of, you know, in the world. You know, I'm not great at it. And some of the levels in this are just so ridiculous. It's unbelievable. On Crash Bandicoot 1, I've had absolute hell getting through the stupid bridge levels on this. To try and explain it, you basically got on a walkway, which is just like a wooden bridge. And you've got holes and certain like wooden planks in front of you, and you can't really see very much because it's quite a small draw distance. There's like a very like foggy area around you, so you can only see a certain amount in front of you. And every time you make a jump, like platforms will either stay still and you're fine on it, or they will drop down straight away and you'll die. So you've got to make sure you land on a certain platforms and do certain jumps. So the first section, okay, I lost a couple of lives. But it's not too bad. I've managed to work out a pattern and go through. You get through to the next section of it, and there's these turtles. These horrible, annoying, bloody turtles. So you go, basically jump on them, and then they turn over like Koopa Troopers.
Yeah.
But you can jump on their bellies.
But you have like to be precise, don't you?
Yes, that's it, exactly. There's one point where you've got to do this three times in a row. And then after that, you land on like an ice physics, like one small step block. And you've got to do this all precisely, then land on that and jump immediately and hope you land on the exit area. Otherwise, you just die straight away. I got game over just from this part of the game at least five times trying to complete it the last couple of days. I hate it. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. It's... See, so... So how much of the Insane Trilogy have you completed then?
So I've not finished any of the games outright yet, but I've gone through probably about 60% of Crash Bandicoot 1.
Yeah.
A good like 80% of Crash 2, because I've played that probably the most out of the three originally. So I know that one quite well anyway, and I know lots of the secret areas in that game. And Crash 3, I've only had like a few like levels and goes on. I've not really done too much on that. I think I've only like through to the third warp room of that. So, but you do get a lot of content for what you're given there, because like each game itself was always quite challenging. The fact that you had to collect ignoring Crash 1 because it wasn't a part of it. You had to collect like crystals in Crash Bandicoot 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And so each level had a crystal, and in all the other games you had gems to collect as well, and you collect gems by basically hitting every single crate in a level. So some levels could have like 10 to 15 crates. So the first level was like really easy. You could probably do that in a few seconds. You get that gem straight away, but there are other levels which got like 130 plus crates to find. And
so
yeah, it's really difficult to 100% any of these games. But some of the games go further than 100%. Like Crash Bandicoot 3, for instance, I think goes up to 140%, just to like really like dig it into you how much more content there is after you finish the game. So on let's go with Crash 1. Basically, you've got five special gems to collect, which are coloured gems. And the problem with this is you need to collect these gems to be able to collect, be able to go to secret areas and other stages. So you collect, for instance, a blue gem in one of the stages. You've got to go back to the first, the second level, go on the secret area of that, hit one or two crates, then do the whole level again to be able to get the extra gem, the grey gem in that level. So you have to do, you basically have to go through the game so many times just to be able to get every single item which is available. And it's a long old slog. If for 100% completer of any games, it's a really good challenge. It's a really good game to try and do it with. But I can guarantee you will see the game over screen hundreds of times. Oh, yeah. It's some of the harder, like the end levels are ridiculously hard. And they've even added two extra DLC levels, which were originally they were never in the games because they were too hard, and in some cases were incomplete. But they were removed in the original games because they were too hard.
I know about that first one, I thought Future Tense was original.
Yes. No, I believe both of them are what was in the original game. But I think the second one you mentioned, the future one, was not complete. Like it wasn't a complete level, but it was too complete up to that point. They sort of gave up. So, but yeah, the other one is definitely 100% was in the original Crash 1, and you could actually get it if you had a Game Shark code. You could actually unlock it within the game. Okay. But I don't think there was no exit in the game. You couldn't actually end the level, and you'd never get anything for it. But yeah, they're some of the hardest challenging games, like levels in games, I think I've ever played. That's how ridiculous some of these, like, for platformer games, it is ridiculous. So if you really want a challenge and you really want a bit of nostalgia to sort of hit you off with, play some Crash Bandicoot and Sane Trilogy. I do recommend it. They are all really well packed games. There's lots of variety. There's like normal like platforming. There's like jumping on certain animals and doing like riding on these animals sort of levels. There's shooting. There's racing levels. There's lots to it. So it's got lots of variants, and it's definitely well worth the chance if you've never played a Crash Bandicoot game. I do recommend giving them a go. So, but yeah, I'm hoping to get through as much as I can in the next couple of weeks, and I will be attempting to at least 100% Crash Bandicoot 2 at the minimum, because I think that's the most possible, because I know most of the secrets in that game. So.
See, I think that's where you get most of the fun, though, because I did manage to play all three games.
Yeah.
By the time if I had to rank, I'd probably go, from top to bottom, I'd probably go 2-1-3.
Yeah.
Because I think 3 I found a bit too easy. And then all the fearful levels and stuff were just kind of, ugh.
I think the first few like main levels of Crash 3 are really, like, they're very tutorial-like. But as it gets nearer the end, there's a lot harder levels, and the secret levels within that game are ridiculously hard.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like, I don't really go for many secrets in 3. So I would go for a bonus room if I saw it, but I'm not really going for 100%.
It's difficult to do it. Unless you know where they are, it's very difficult to find the actual hidden gates to get into other levels. There's only one I can tell you I remember from Crash 3, is on the motorbike levels of Crash. There's a night level, and you can hit like alien sign. And if you hit the alien sign, it takes you to a new level, which that's the only way you can unlock it. So if you don't know about that, you're never going to do it. Kind of thing. It's really difficult. I know Crash 2 has, for instance, some nitro blocks, but it's not actually like nitro blocks. They don't jump or anything, and it's actually a staircase. And that's one of the secret things in that. And it's like stupid things like that. It's like, come on, that's seriously? Stinking. No one's ever going to see that. Yeah.
See, I think that's the thing. Like, if you're going for it just for the main levels, then yeah, I don't think you'd will. Like, I think you could still have a decent time.
Yeah.
Um,
oh, and talking of time, it gets even better, because On Crash Bandicoot 3, there was what's called relics, which are basically speed through the level as quick as you can.
Oh, Tom Charles.
Yes, time trials.
I've not
But
bothered with them.
have you attempted any?
I don't think so. I think I attempted what, like a couple
So they
at
originally were only
max.
those time trials were only originally in Crash 3,
But
but
they've
they've
got
also
added
added them to
in.
Crash Bandicoot 2 and Crash Bandicoot 1. And they were always the worst to try and like unlock everything,
Exactly.
because in Crash 3 you actually have to complete some of the relic levels to be able to unlock some of the other extra secret levels.
Oh, right.
So that's probably why you've missed something on their map. But it's like the problem with that is they've got relics, they've got gold relics if you complete it fast enough and beat the time. But I don't know this. I don't know if you can quote me on it. But I think the platinum relics, you have to get every single box and beat the time to be able to do it. It's ridiculously hard to do.
That just sounds more effort than it's worth.
Yeah, it is. But it does have like a leaderboard things on there. So if you're into that sort of thing, beating other people on leaderboards, enjoy. So I'm not going to do it. So. But that's pretty much everything I can talk about for Crash for now. If I get any further in it, I'll let everyone know, and we'll go from there, shall we? Because this is going to take me a while to complete, definitely. So, but that's all the games I've really been playing. I've not really played much of Fallout Shelter and Pokemon, whatever it was. I've just forgotten about it. The stupid mobile game,
Pokemon Quest.
Quest or whatever. Quest.
Oh,
Yeah,
I
I've
have
tried my
not
best to
given a
signal that
toss
now.
about that at all.
Yeah. I gave it a go. I'd got really far, and I got stuck in one area, not being able to unlock it. And I'm like, I'm done. I've had enough of
That's
this.
how they
So,
get you.
yeah, that's how they get you. And they want you to pay to go for the next level. No, I'm not going to do it. So, Matt, what have you been playing? I've been talking too long. Go.
What have I been playing? A fair amount. So I got Rumbo. One of my favourite games on the Wii U for multiplayer shenanigans. I haven't got the DLC just yet.
Okay.
Which, and I didn't get the DLC for the Wii U version either. I was originally going to get the deluxe edition physically, which came with all the DLC anyway. But I just couldn't be bothered to wait that long, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's just, it's fine.
Cool.
Thankfully, it doesn't take all that much up in terms of space.
Right.
I think only like 1 gigabyte for the game, which is pretty good. So not too strenuous on my system memory.
Well,
But
you've
yeah,
only got 32 gig, yeah.
it's Rumbo. I think we've talked about it before, like eons ago. Basically, it's a fun party game up to 8 players on the Switch, 9 players online. I'm trying to find the best way to describe it. Basically, it's a platforming runner, basically, so you race to the end.
Yeah.
But there are some platforms that are coloured in differently, so there may be blue platforms, yellow platforms, and red platforms, let's say. But if the background changes to one of those colours, that platform disappears. So
Yeah,
say
so
if you're...
if there's a red background and a red platform, you can't use the red platform, for example.
Yeah. Same with blue, yellow. Seriously, that's its thing, and I think it does it really well. There's a lot of scenarios where it can be quite basic, like some may act as traps, for example. Like one of the levels, you may go in thinking that you're safe, but before you could even exit that secret passage, the background color may change, leaving you with facing a stick of a different color. That's pretty cool. The story mode as well, I'm working my way through that. The other one as well was Behemoth, which is a greatly difficult gauntlet style mode. So you go
Right.
in it, so it's basically an adventure mode, but it's just one big level comprised of like multiple different areas.
Okay.
You have no saves, so you pretty much have to do it there and then if you want to complete it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So that
That
adds to
sounds
the
difficult.
challenge. Yeah. It's pretty long. I think when I did it on the Wii U, I think it took about 1 hour and 15 minutes for me to complete it. But now when I tried it again, it took me about 40 minutes, I think. Which is still quite long. So the Behemoth was a great challenge. Well designed as well. Like, you go into one room, you present it with a challenge, and then you go into the next room. Then it builds upon that challenge. Then you go to the next room, and then you're presented with a new concept. So yeah, I think it's just a well-designed game all around. I think my only problem with the Switch port, at least, is whenever you go into a mode, you're asked to like choose your character and stuff. But before then, you have to do that thing where you like have to collaborate your controllers again, like pressing the R and L buttons. You know, when that screen comes up. Yeah. So you have to go through that again, which is just really annoying because like even if you're the only controller connected, you still have to go through that screen again. You know, you still have to go through that screen, press R and L, press that, and then choose your character.
That'd be annoying if
Which
there's
is
eight of you.
exactly. Well, I guess it's understandable because you want. Because I guess how they're doing it is if you have multiple Joy-Con. So if you have enough Joy-Con, so eight separate Joy-Con, what you want to do is like connect the eight of them as pairs. So like you do with a normal Joy-Con grip, you know. So technically on the system there'd be four players, each player having two Joy-Con. But you just share the Joy-Con. So sort of like how on the Wii U version you had one person on the Wii remote and then one person on the nunchuck, basically.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's my only problem. But other than that, it's pretty good. It's like I think it's only about a tenner. Then I think only. I think
I'm
it's
quite
about.
tempted to, I'm quite tempted to pick it up because it's a
Oh
great
yeah.
online multiplayer game. And local play as well. It's
Oh yeah.
amazing.
It's
Just
just a
having enough.
good. It's just a good game to have, really, in your
In
library.
general. If you're into that like the mass multiplayer games and all, you got quite a few your family you like to play games with, highly recommend Rambo. Really good game.
Moving on. I tried the demo for WarioWare Gold, and I have to say,
Yes.
it's pretty
I've not
fun.
tried this yet.
It's really good. So you get, I guess modes. So let's say each mode is comprised of different micro games, right? You try to go for a higher score, you know, by completing different micro games, you get four lives. If you fail to complete a micro game, you lose a life.
Just like traditional WarioWare sort
Yeah.
of game.
So in the demo you get three modes. One is focusing on touch controls, another is focusing on the gyro controls, and then another is just focusing on the basic buttons. This it's just a lot of fun, you know. From the demo at
They always
least.
were.
Yeah.
I think WarioWare Touch was one of my most played games on any of my 3DSs and DSs.
Wow.
Was just such a great fun game.
Oh yeah. The thing is I don't think we've really had a major Nintendo game so far on the 3DS this year. We've had Dylan's Rolling Western, Dead Heat Breakers or whatever, but no one have I haven't really seen many people actually give a toss about Dylan.
Yeah, I don't think
It's
anyone's really
quite
that
niche,
fussed
and
about it.
I think apart from that, the only 3DS game we've had is Sushi Striker, and even then that just got snubbed down the rug because everyone was getting on the Switch.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the only other game we've got coming now is again WarioWare Gold and Luigi's Mansion,
Which again,
basically.
you know, so I am worried about it because I think WarioWare Gold does seem like it does deserve more attention, you know.
Do you think it would work on the Switch?
Maybe. I think there's definitely a possibility. But I think granted if you're playing in handheld mode with this Switch, no, actually it may be good. It
You
may
wouldn't be
have
able to do
worked
any
on
of the touch
Switch.
things, would you, if you didn't have it in handheld mode,
That's
though, would
very
you? I don't know.
true.
Is there any of the actual touch gameplay in WarioWare Gold? Does it use that from
Yeah,
those things? Do
so
you
that
know?
was one of the modes I was mentioning. So yeah, probably not. It probably wouldn't work well on Switch, but to be honest, I'm not really that concerned like I would be with Luigi's Mansion. Because I think it does actually seem like a good fit for 3DS.
This makes me think, like, if there is a Mario Maker game in the works, like with a pen or something to work with the Switch, that WarioWare would probably work quite well with it as well, but
It
I don't know
could
how you'd
do.
hold it. That's the thing. How would you hold a console to do it? It's not the most easiest thing to hold together, like.
Nah, that's true. But yeah, WarioWare Gold is good, and I think it's got a fair amount of content as well. So you've got all the micro games and stuff, but then you've also got a lot of like additional mini games on top of that. You know, so
Okay.
like from the demo, from what it was advertising in the demo, there seems to be like an actually a lot of content, a lot of bang for your buck.
What you could do in a lot of the WarioWare games is, as you go through each character, you basically each character had different like ways of playing. So normally Wario was the main just tap stuff or just the main display of stuff. But then other characters had different ways to compete. I know like. I think the 8-bit guy is in there. He always had the retro games
Ninefold,
related to his stuff. But there was also like I know in the I could only really talk from the touch game because that's the one I really remember at the moment, and bits of Smooth Moves on the Wii. But yeah, there was lots of like microphone stuff on the on WarioWare Touched, where you had this robot you could had to like do certain things with your like voice at certain points to talk to him. To complete some of the levels, it was really, really well done. But on the 3DS, the microphone isn't as technical; it doesn't work as well, so it's a little bit frustrating. So I don't know if any of those are involved in WarioWare Gold or not. But it took all the gimmicks of the new console, and it showed them off pretty well in WarioWare games. And I think that's the problem with this: is we're just going back to the old games we've already played. It's like the Mario Party, like 100 mini games, the game that was out a few months ago for the 3DS. It's kind of similar to that in a way, I think.
I guess so. I can see your point, but I think with Mario Party, it's like it came with just 100 mini games, and it's like you
Yeah.
didn't get the boards or anything like that, or anything substantial. Whereas WarioWare Gold does seem like a good celebration of the series.
Yes, okay.
But I am wondering then, what is the future for the series then? That's what I do wonder.
What worries me, the fact it's a gold edition. Is this like they're saying this could be the last one, or is it going to be the last one for a while because we can't necessarily do the technology on the Switch at the moment?
That's true.
Maybe they haven't quite
Oh,
thought about it yet.
how did I forget the Detective Pikachu was this year as well, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, okay, that was also out this year. Yeah, that was February, wasn't it? Am I thinking wrong?
March. Yeah, March.
March, sorry, March. So that's about it then for the 3DS.
So it shows like all the 3DS releases are kind of getting snubbed, you know, I feel. In comparison to Switch releases. Yeah, you know, it's launching just in a couple of weeks actually, which is sooner than I thought.
Yeah, it's going to fly through, isn't it?
Yeah, so I do wonder what they're gonna do about that, like, you know, like covering it. So I hope it does do relatively well, but I worry it's not. Especially in the UK, because everyone seems to love Crash being the number one
Yeah.
UK game for the second week in a row.
It always did really well in Europe, though, to be fair.
I think it's in
But
Europe
then
as a
when
whole.
all those got released, they always did really well, yeah.
I remember like staying at like the top of the charts for the PS4 version like last year for ages.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew actually, Matt, because talk about Crash Bandicoot on sales like worldwide. The Japanese box art for Crash was completely different for every single time,
Oh yeah,
and they've
I know
used.
that. Yeah.
He looks a bit crazier and nuttier for some reason. I just don't know why they ever did it. It's really
I
weird.
think I remember it's. I think it's because they have a weird taboo of characters with four fingers in Japan.
Right. Oh, okay.
So they had to change that. I can't remember
They had to change.
exactly,
That would make sense,
but
actually. Yeah,
I
okay.
remember it's something to do with fingers. That's all I remember.
Wow.
See, yeah,
If that's the case, that's
I
weird.
know, mate. Did you know? I know that, indeed.
Did you know? Did you know? Wow.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. I've been getting into Splatoon 2 again, trying to work my
Again.
up the ranks. Yeah, thanks to the Octo expansion, it really reignited my drive. You know, I want to get at least before my next major Switch purchase. I want to try and get to at least S, rank S on all the ranked modes. I'm S on about
Oh man,
two.
good luck
Yeah, I'm pretty close.
Are
And
you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, don't doubt me, boy. I think I'm like A on Clan Blitz
Okay.
and A plus on Rainmaker. No, I think I just went to yeah, I just went to S on Rainmaker today. I'm already S on Tower Control. I think I'm on A plus on Splat Zones. So I'm
Wow,
pretty close.
nice.
Maybe I probably won't get to rank X anytime soon. But yeah, you know, it's
Yeah.
still Splatoon 2. It's still fun.
I think I'm rank A on most of them, apart from Clan Blitz, which I haven't replayed that much of, if I'm honest.
Clan Blitz is really fun,
So,
but it requires a lot of teamwork. Because,
yeah.
mate, you know what Clan Blitz is, right? So, like, you gather clams and you toss them
I've
into
played it a
the.
couple of times,
Yeah.
yeah.
So you toss them into bad guys' basket, basically. And that's the main
It's like
gist
a
of it.
basketball, but for Splatoon.
Kinda. But
Yeah.
the thing is, I don't think. I haven't really seen it that lot, is the fact that you could. You don't have to be by your opponent's basket to throw your clams.
Yeah, you
So,
can throw them quite far
yeah. So the
away,
main thing you need to do is to create a super clam. So that's the equivalent of 10 clams. So once you get 10 clams, you.
Super clam.
Yeah, so that's basically just a giant rugby ball. You need to shoot that at the
Super
enemy's.
clam.
You need to shoot that at the enemy's base in order to actually
Yeah.
shoot in regular clams first. So that's the initiator that you have to have.
Yeah.
So say if. You're a 9 and I'm a 1. Basically, I could just throw you my one clam to you. You pick that up and then you create the super clam. So it's all about sharing your clams at the right moments. But from my experience, I haven't really seen many people do that. You know,
No,
so that's
I
a
didn't know that was even a mechanic. I didn't know you could do
yeah. So like,
that.
so you don't only throw. You can throw the clams at any time. That means people can pick them up. I'm including your team, so it could be either teammates or just opponents, but whatever. So that's a really
Okay.
fundamental mechanic that you have to do, and it's not really taught.
I didn't know that. I honestly didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's quite weird, really. So that's why I'm hoping to get into the higher ranks, just so I'm hoping people can actually do that. But
Yeah.
throughout all this time, the thing is, it's just really making me realize that, like, Splatoon 2, as well as Splatoon 1, to be fair, really need an overhaul in terms of its own online. You know, I've said this before, you
Yeah.
know, this rotation, what I'm saying is, you can either pick your mode that you want to do, so it's either if you just want to practice something in particular, like, say, if you want to practice a certain mode with a certain weapon and gear, or if you don't like playing Tower Control, you could just pick the mode, or you could just go into Random Battle, so it could be one of the four. And there's no rotation, so you know, it's a random map. So before you head in, it tells us the map, it tells us the mode, so that gives both sides of the team 30 seconds to prepare for whatever weapon they want, or for the gear they want, and then select ready when they're ready. If all pl eight players are ready before the timer counts down, we already head into match. You know, I'd rather
Right,
have
okay.
that 30-second wait than having to deal with the same two maps and the same mode every 2 hours. So that's what I changed first. The other thing as well is leveling up, because it's quite a slog
Yeah.
when you think about it. Because
Oh, yeah.
if you want to get it fastest, you got to get a knockout in ranked. That means win outright, not through. Whoever gets the highest score, you have to get a proper knockout. If you don't use any of the drink tickets, or food tickets rather, you only get 2,500 XP from that, from a knockout. Right? Then I'm on like
You need like
level.
a thousand from the normal mode, don't you? Something like that, if you win.
Yeah, not even 1,000, I think. No, yeah, I think it is around about 1,000. I'm not sure, but basically,
I know you get a lot more in rank. you do in the other one. That's all I know. So
if you want the most XP for one match, you got to win, and you got that match to be a knockout. You know, I'm on level 31, and you've got to have like 65,000 points just to level up. So if I'm not using a food ticket, that means I've got to win like 24 games, knockouts, minimum.
Yeah.
You know.
That's Splatoon in a nutshell, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's just too low of a number, you know. The drink tickets do help, but only, not by much. In addition, if you lose, say if you're the losing team on a ranked match, you get next to nothing. Exactly.
You get nothing.
So you only get 100 XP for each minute you've played. That's the thing. So if you get hold up until like a timeout, do you only get 500 XP. Which is not good, especially if you've like gave it your all, you got the most kills or something, but you only end up with 500 XP.
Yeah, that's not good. It is frustrating, but it's done on whether you win the match or not. And I think that's probably the better way to do it, in my opinion. Because the fact it makes you more willing to win the match and do your best to win it. You know what I mean?
The thing is like, because
you don't get anything for being a loser, Matt. You don't get anything for being a loser.
No, but what if your teammates suck ass? You're the best player there. No, like, that sounds arrogant, but what if you were actually the best player? Like, if you were the MVP, you got the most stats, you won the objective the most. I'm using Overwatch terms, but Overwatch handles it well, right? So,
never played it, but yeah.
So at the end of the match, you know, you get, so you got certain stats within each match. You got objective times. That means how long you've stayed on the payload.
Yeah.
So that's actually contributing to your team winning or lose, or yeah, that means how long you've actually contributed to your team winning.
Yeah.
You've also got eliminations. Yeah. To take into account for how much healing you may have done.
So basically, you're saying for whatever you do within a match on Splatoon, you think you should be rewarded for those individual parts rather than just get something for just being there for 5 minutes.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, so even if you lose, you should still feel rewarded for what you've done.
So you say if you, for instance, got the player who got the most kills and the least deaths, you think you should get something extra in terms of XP or whatever.
Yeah.
Does make more sense. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So stat things, right? So like, maybe not being able to look at other player stats, which is fine enough. You know, I think that could involve some toxicity, potentially. Yes. But, you know, you already see how many stats you get at the end of the match. You know, why not? Mm. Especially if you're not one for doing splats, but you may have been on the tower for the longest. You may have been the one carrying the Rainmaker to the goal.
Yeah.
Or, on the other hand, you may be doing toss all, but at the end of the day, you may have been maybe rewarded the same XP as someone that's actually been putting in the effort for you guys to win. You know. So I want a more robust system. Right now, I feel that's too simple. In terms of its reward mechanics. In terms of gameplay, it's pretty good. I don't think gameplay-wise it needs any shifting up. It's more about the quality of life.
Just some technical parts, especially when there's new levels to hit at the top end. I can understand what you're trying to say, yeah. It does make more sense that you should get rewarded if you are the better player on your team and things like that. I can get what you're saying, yeah. But at the same time, you don't want to sort of overcomplicate it as well. I think you know.
That's a fair point.
If you've had a really bad game and like everyone's done really really bad, like you've lost, like the guys on the other side have beaten you like 20 times every each, and it's like, does that mean they're going to get extra XP for just farming people kind of thing? You know, I think that's the problem they exploit it.
It's not that same team, you know. Like you're in the lobby, but like they. You're not always on the same team, are you?
Well, no, of course, yeah. But you could get 8 people together and just keep farming XP in a way, if you know what I mean.
Are you saying like through friends and stuff?
Yeah, in a way.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, I know.
You can't get 8 people together and do that.
Not for ranked mode. I know you can't, things like that. But it's. I'm trying to think of like why it would be a bad idea. Yeah.
Turf war,
but you know,
theoretically,
even turf war, yeah.
But even then, if you just want to hop into a turf war, you know, one of you got into a turf war, it may end up being full, and then you got to wait until one spot is vacant until you could join that party.
Yeah.
And you can't even view the game whilst like it's going on. You know, I don't know. I love Splatoon 2. I wouldn't be talking about it if not.
I do like it a lot. I've not played it recently for weird reasons, but yeah, it's a great game, and I can understand the love for it and trying to get this to this higher six like rank levels. And I hope you do get up there, man. It'd be quite cool to see. But I can kind of agree with what you're saying, that there could be different things for the better players to enhance that, get into that higher rank and higher level and keep pushing yourself. But maybe there's some extra reward wise to get there. Maybe that'll push people a bit more. But I know it seems a good idea. I see your point is a good, valid point.
Yeah. So. See, like, you don't really get anything for leveling up, but it's just a good feeling to have, you know.
Yeah. When you're on your friends list and you're like 25 levels higher than them, it's like, you know, things like
that. Yeah, so it's like Overwatch, when I think in the earlier levels, you know, they're quite low caps. So it's like only 1,000 XP to level up, you know, then 2,000. And I think by level 20, then you require 20,000 experience to level up. But it stays at 20,000 experience for the rest of your gameplay.
Yeah.
For the rest of your time on Overwatch, it's always going to be 20,000 experience just to level up.
Yeah.
In Splatoon, they're always leveling up. So for the next time to level up, you've got to put even more effort in.
Yeah, of course you do.
Well, yeah, I get that.
You don't get something for nothing.
Yeah, but like, you're not really feeling rewarded if it's taking too long. You know, like, I put in 100 hours. Well, I saw that I have put in 100 hours. I'd say, let's say probably 25 hours for the single player content. That's including the main campaign and the Octo expansion. Yeah. Let's say another 25 hours for Salmon Run, let's say.
Yeah.
Max. So that leaves around about 50 hours for main multiplayer modes. Mm-hmm. I'm only at level 31.
Ah.
Which is, that's not a good feeling. Well, it's alright. The thing is like, whenever you level up past level 30, you get a Super C snail.
I'm not even sure what level I am, if I'm honest, but I can tell you, Splatoon 2 is my most played game, 115 hours or more. So, yeah. And I haven't played it for 3 months, so.
I don't know.
To put in comparison, my second most, but joint Mario Kart 8 and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild are 80 hours, so. There's another, like, 25 hours, well, 35 hours more on Splatoon.
Anyway, I've rambled on too long about Splatoon 2. Anyway,
yeah, you did.
Moving on. Layton's Mystery Journey, Cut Trail and the Millionaire's Conspiracy, also known as Lady Layton, which is what it should have been called, but they chose for a long title instead. I finally completed it.
Yeah.
All story and stuff. I'm about to wrap up. Last time I left it, I'm on the very final puzzle.
Okay.
And the final puzzle. At least I think it's the final puzzle.
I hope so.
I think it is. Yeah, it's an okay game. Not again. I think I've talked about this before. It's not what everything I wanted. I think the final case did pick things up a bit. I think the final case was actually generally quite interesting.
Right. Okay.
But that was it. You know. Like all 11 other cases were just kind of mediocre. It didn't feel very Layton-y. It felt very
Layton-y.
I don't know. I'm just hoping that it's more suited for a TV show, basically. Which, speaking of which, they are doing a TV show of.
Maybe that's why, though.
Maybe, I don't know. All I'm saying is, like, I'm hoping for the next Layton game. I wouldn't mind if Catriel returns, because I think she is a pretty enjoyable protagonist to have. But when she was going on about, I think there's one scene that's like, oh, I'll take this case of my father's steed, you know, some of that. But it's like, compared to like Herschel Layton, who's of course the original Layton, he went on like these really grand adventures, you know, these big mysteries. Whereas like Lady Layton is comprised of like smaller cases that don't really pay off all that well for me. And the puzzles are kind of a mixed bag. Some are actually pretty good, but the others are just kind of duds, you know. But no, it's pretty good. I want to write a review on it. Get into that again.
Oh.
Next one is Gravity Rush. Did I talk about this before? I may have.
Don't know. Don't think so.
Basically, I got this a while ago from the Big in Japan sale on PS4. Finished it yesterday. It's all
Okay.
right. Basically, you play as this girl called Cat, another cat.
Meow.
And basically, you have the power to shift gravity. So you press a button, and then you're able to shift gravity. So you could either fall upwards, you could fall to the side, you could fall regularly, you know.
Oh, okay.
So
That's kind of
basically,
interesting.
so you can basically fly, is the main thing of
Yeah.
it, and it feels nice. But that's pretty much the only enjoyment I got out of it, you know. Some missions are quite cool, you know. It's fun to fly around the environment and collect all the power gems, which is used to power up your main powers. But for the main missions, they weren't really. They were quite repetitive, you know, because the main menace.
I suppose with that gimmick, I suppose it is going to be quite
Yeah,
repetitive as you go through
but
levels.
it's my problem was mainly with the combat. Really, there just wasn't like I just didn't really feel that there was much variety in the combat. It was always just like, oh, lock onto this target and do a gravity kick, which is just flying in that direction, but you put your foot out for a kick. You know, it's quite powerful, but that's pretty much all I did for all the enemies within the game. Aside from a couple of special moves, you know. So combat was definitely its weakest point, and that's when I kind of like. Felt like it became a drag more than enjoying. And the story as well, the story leaves a lot to be desired. I feel like it goes for a quite climactic ending, but then it just kind of doesn't pay off, I feel.
Right.
But yeah, aside from that, I think it's a fun time. I got it for like about 6 quid for that from that Big in
That's not
Japan
too
sale.
bad
Yeah.
then. Yeah.
So that's the price I'd
So
actually pay for it, to be
you
honest.
like the gimmick of the moving the gravity and but the
Yeah.
gameplay sort of suffers for
Yeah.
repetition and the story's not quite there then
Yeah.
basically.
It's
Okay.
good. The thing is like I looked at Gravity Rush 2 trailers and stuff
Oh,
for
there's a
it.
second one, is there?
Oh
Okay.
yeah. Like Gravity Rush on PS4 is a remastered version of the Vita game.
Right.
So of course Gravity Rush 2 being developed for PS4 from the ground up in comparison to the original being from the Vita, you'd expect like a graphical shift in quality.
Yeah.
But it's just on another level. Like I wouldn't say it's the prettiest game out there, but I mean just comparing the two, it's just you see Gravity Rush 2 and it's just like a lot different compared to the
Yeah.
original.
Yeah.
So I might be picking up Gravity Rush 2 eventually, not immediately, because I heard if I was kind of lukewarm on Gravity Rush 1, so I'm not diving into the chance straight again just to play the sequel and be lukewarm all over again. It's too soon for that. But when the Big in Japan sale comes back on, then yeah, I'll probably get it again.
Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. For what I've been playing.
You know when we said we're going to do a shorter episode?
Hey, listen, I have a lot of games here.
To be fair, I did go through Crash Bandicoot quite a bit in Fortnite. I made it a bit too
Exactly.
much. But still, it's been nearly 2 hours.
It's been nearly 2 hours, exactly.
Wow.
All right, so let's move on to our final section. So this is the final section on the podcast now, our shout-out section. We've got a couple of questions. One from our good friend Malik. He asks Pikachu Eevee.
Eevee.
Pikachu here. Quite
Eevee, because you get more options,
bog
so.
standard answers, but you know.
If you mean in that game, it doesn't really matter, I suppose, so.
Flat Cap Gary, of course, good friend of the show. He asks, what's the worst game you've played on Switch so far?
Oh, God. Let me just have a quick look through my library. I'll tell you. That's quite a difficult, quite a difficult one to answer.
You're looking good through. One. I'm probably going to say Rocket League.
What?
I mean, okay, so let's see. So I don't have that
Rocket
lot.
Rocket League?
But let's see. So I have Splatoon 2, Rainbow, ARMS, Mirai Deluxe, Celeste, Crypt of the Necrodancer, Fire Emblem Warriors, Shovel Knight, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Rocket League, Sonic Mania, Mario & Rabbids, Zelda Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, and then Snip Eclipse. So I've got a fair selection, and I think of all of them, I probably liked Rocket League the least, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just went into it expecting a bit more. But alas, you know, it's a fun time.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not sure. It took up the most space on my system. That's the other thing as well.
See, I think I could probably answer that with Pokemon Quest. So it's the most addictively stupid game, but it's just no real gameplay to it, and it was really frustrating to me after near the end. And I think Snake Pass was the most frustrating game I think I've ever played.
Oh, really?
Controls wise. I think Zeo Drifter, maybe. I mean, it was okay. It's a nice little basic Metroidvania, but it's quite short. It's not a lot else to it after that. But I mean, I've enjoyed quite a lot of the games I've bought on the Switch. There's nothing really massive I say I've really been disappointed with. I don't think there's anything like that. Yeah. I think everything's got its own sort of quirk to it, and there's a lot of fun games there. But yeah, thank you, Gary, for the question.
Right.
Yeah.
Move on to shout-outs. I'm going to give a quick shout-out to Insert Coin Tees. A couple of years ago, they did this Pokemon line, which I managed to see in person. I got a pretty good Pikachu top there. But now they're teasing, well, they've pretty much confirmed a new Persona 5 line of clothes.
Okay.
Which I'm incredibly excited for because, of course, I love Persona 5. And I've been looking for Persona 5 t-shirts for ages, like actually good shirts. And I think the time has come. There's this really nice looking jacket in the style of Shujin Academy, which is the main school of the game. So I really want to get the jacket, but it's probably going to cost a fortune, probably. I might see if I could ask for it for my birthday, maybe. Who knows? But yeah, you know, shout-outs to them. They're being pretty cheeky about it, you know. They even did their own calling card for it, retweeting a lot of people's reactions to the news. It's pretty nuts. But yeah, it's pretty neat, you know. From the quality of the Pikachu t-shirt, I'm sure these would be good quality stuff. Yeah, that's my shout out, pretty much.
Sweet.
Jackie,
they are good brands. They do a lot of good shirts at Insert Coin now. There's a lot of good clothing from all sorts of things, like hats as well. So, depending on what you're into, you find all sorts of stuff there. I've only got one shout out, and it's kind of cheeky that it's sort of. Southampton Game Fest is coming back again this year. For the fourth year running, and this year I'm going to be heavily part of it. I'm actually running the social media and stuff for the Twitter pages and Facebook pages at the moment. It's been a bit all over the place still at the moment. We basically got three venues in October down Beavis Valley in Southampton. We've got The Hobbit, you might have heard of before. It's basically the pub named after the famous book. And
they have
the
a good drink there.
They have a lot of good drinks there. One of the events we've got is going to be, we're going to take over the naming of the drinks. So you can be out for the day. And you're going to be naming it as a competition to name the drinks. So that's quite a cool little thing. I was quite interested in that. But there's been lots of like indie games on the show. There'll be lots of retro gaming. There's cosplay. There's Lego building. There's all sorts of things being added in the next couple of weeks. And I'm hoping, we'll see how this goes. We're on about getting a podcast section. So I haven't said this to Matt yet, but maybe if he's interested, we might be able to do some guest slots on podcasts and stuff.
Could
So
do, could do.
yeah, or do our own podcast there, maybe, depending
Maybe. I think
how
that'd be more
brilliant.
hassle than it's worth, to be honest.
Yeah, probably, but it'd be good fun anyway. So
Could do.
yeah, if we can do some sort of competition on the day or something, I don't know, but maybe get people to play some games against us and see how it goes. But anyway, we'll talk about them more in the future. If you go check out at Fest Southampton, so that's at FestSouthampton, and that is the Twitter page. And on the Hampshire Gaming Hub on Facebook, is all the links to the Southampton Game Fest stuff, all is on there. So Hampshire Gaming Hub. There is a website related to that as well, which is southamptongamefest.com. And tickets are now available for £8 for adults, and kids under 10, I believe, go for free. So, but you have a paying adult to go with them. So, yeah. So, if you are interested, check that out. We're still looking for more people to showcase stuff at the event. If you are interested, please let me know. We can talk and to see if we can get you involved. I know there's a few people have tweeted me and messaged me, and I've sent the information on to Patrick, who is at Custard Trout on Twitter and Facebook. So if you're interested in showcasing some of your stuff, please let us know, and we'll try and get something sorted. So thanks again, everyone that has already followed and retweeted the stuff on there. I will continue to retweet information and sharing information on Facebook as well, via my Gorney7789 page, and possibly the End Podcast System page as well. But yeah, there's lots of things going on for that at the moment, and it's lots of stressful things. So any support we can get to sort of help make it a smooth event for the day, and I'll be really grateful. So thank you very much, and I think that leads it on to the end of the podcast, Matthew.
Right, that wraps it up pretty much for episode 54. Where can you find the podcast? You can find us on YouTube, iTunes, Podomatic, and Spotify, and I believe Google Play as well.
Google Play as well. Yes, I totally
Yes.
forgot about that. Oh my God. Yes,
I.
if you're an Android, right now, if you're using an Android phone, look up Google Podcasts, an app on your phone. You can download everything from that thing there, from that. So if you've got an Android phone, download it on there, and you can add the End Podcast System as a separate app page to your lists, and you can click that any time. We've got a new episode up, and you can go straight to our page, and it'll go straight away. So, nice little shortcut for you. So, get downloading, yay! And we've got like an extra couple hundred people actually from that, so which is really cool. So, thank you very much to everyone who's downloaded. And hi, new people, I'm waving. Hello. Hope you enjoyed. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Now I feel awkward.
What else? On social media, you can find us on Twitter at npodcast system. I believe it's the same for Facebook as well.
It is.
Email nintendopodcastsystem@gmail.com, just the name of the show. With an added at gmail.com, pretty much. Bog standard stuff. That's pretty much it of where you can find us. It will be in the description below if you couldn't keep up with my relatively fast voice, or if you just couldn't understand me at all, which, to be honest, I can't blame you. Because I've had that I've had people tell me that a lot in my life. As
Oh.
for myself, I don't know why you're worrying. It's like, his fault. So where can you find me? You can find me on Twitter at acegibbo, acegibbo. You can find all my opinions and whatnot, such and such. Jack, where can people find you?
Hello, people. You can find me probably drunk in a bar in Southampton somewhere watching the football. But if you want to follow me somewhere on the Twitters, you can go at Gorney7789. That's also available on Facebook and YouTube. I did put up a video yesterday of me singing the Three Lions song on via Alexa on my YouTube channel. So if you want to laugh at me being stupid, go and do that right now. That'd be great. Thank you very much. I did start a Sonic Adventure series on the channel, which consisted at the moment of one whole episode, but I've got a few more to edit and upload in the next couple of weeks, hopefully. I won't be doing it tonight, and I definitely won't be doing it tomorrow because England's on. Come on, England! And yeah, that'd be about it, really. There's nothing else I can say. But thanks for watching and listening, whatever it is you're doing. Yeah.
Right, that will pretty much it. As for closing music, I'm probably going to put something in from Inazuma 11, seeing as it is the World Cup. Don't know what song
Three
it's going
lines
to
in the shirt. Jewels
be. Ah,
remains to
yes.
be seen. I can't really do that one though, because it will get like copyright striked on
I
everything.
remember that music track in Inazuma 11 3.
Yes, it was in that. Yeah.
Very classic track. Speaking of which,
Yeah.
Inazuma 11 3 was pretty much the World Cup, just with young kids instead. And really over the top special moves
Awkward.
and cringy moves. Anyway,
Anime.
very anime indeed. That's all I really am.
Animus.
No.
Pillows.
So that ends it for episode 54 of Nintendo Podcast System. We hope you all enjoyed and happy gaming.
Happy gaming! Come on, England! Come on! Come on!